Shout out to Phil and the gang over at Quality Post Printing. Join us today. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And to the best listeners on radio, all of you, we appreciate you. Melissa, Seth, you guys have a great day.
You too.
You too.
We'll be back with Morning Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New developments in the case of a man in Texas who police say hid under a pile of laundry in a home near Houston after allegedly killing five neighbors, including a nine-year-old boy. Correspondent Janet Shamlian is at the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office.
Several other people have been arrested for aiding and abetting this felon's four-day run. But with sort of a wink and a nod, he indicated that one of them was the suspect's wife, who authorities talked to in the aftermath of the shooting that happened on Friday night.
The sheriff says he expects the person who called in a tip that led to Francisco Oropesa's arrest will receive an $80,000 reward. Police in Serbia say a seventh grader made a detailed plan that included the names of fellow students and their classes before he brought his father's gun to school and opened fire. CBS's MTS Tayab is at the foreign desk.
Eight students were killed, including a security guard. We also know that six children and a teacher were wounded, some of them very seriously wounded as well.
Officials say the young suspect called police and confessed before he was arrested in the schoolyard. No word on a motive. In Ukraine, a presidential advisor denying a claim by Russia, Ukraine staged a failed drone attack on the Kremlin intended to kill Vladimir Putin. The advisor calls it a made-up excuse for Russia to stage a large-scale terrorist attack on Ukraine. There are promising new trial results on an Alzheimer's drug from Eli Lilly. The company today reporting a large-scale clinical trial that shows early-stage patients who received its antibody infusion, donanemab, showed a 35% slower decline in memory, thinking, and in the ability to perform daily activities. Robert Eggies at the Alzheimer's Association.
We have for years pushed for treatments that can actually change the underlying course of the disease. And this phase three trial results, they indicate clearly that's what's happening.
There are new abortion restrictions on the table in North Carolina. CBS's Jim Krasula from Greensboro.
North Carolina Republican legislative leaders are backing a measure that would prohibit abortion in nearly all cases after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Current North Carolina law bans nearly all abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. GOP State Senator Joyce Kroriak.
We have the opportunity to save many lives. We have the opportunity to provide women and families options.
Agreement of the measure was worked out privately among Republicans without formal public input.
According to Cox Automotive, there are only three new cars you can buy for under 20 grand these days: the Kia Rio, Mitsubishi's Mirage, and the Nissan Versa. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Elevate your sleep with Mike Lindell's Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Ultra soft, breathable, and durable Giza cotton ensures comfort. Enjoy a 60-day money-back guarantee and 10-year warranty. For a limited time, get 50% off Giza Dream Sheets starting at $29.98. Visit MyPillow.com, click Radio Podcast Square, and use promo code SKY for amazing MyPillow offers. Call 1-800-635-1825 or visit MyPillow.com now using promo code SKY for fantastic deals.
Progressive presents Precious Moments.
Yeah, I caught my first fish, Dad!
Great job, buddy. He's a beauty.
Thanks for taking me fishing. Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
The exchange you just heard didn't actually happen, but it could. Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive, and you could use the savings to make sure the boat's always ready for those magical father-son moments. Who knows, maybe someday he'll actually like fishing. So keep the dream alive and the savings coming with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet, or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 60. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 39. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 70. Chance for scattered storms Friday. Chance for scattered showers on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 3rd, 2023. It is 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Today, we're going to spend the hour with our friends at the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We've got a couple of new friends in with us. We have Sarah McCormick. Sarah, I'll go ahead and let you say who your position.
I'm a deputy sheriff with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Right now, I'm assigned to the Courthouse Division.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate you being here and appreciate your service.
Thank you.
We also have Kelly and Jess here from the Sheriff's Department. Kelly, can you tell us your position and why you're here today?
I am the office manager at the Sheriff's Department, and I have my friend Jess here.
And I am the administrative assistant, so okay. Basically typing reports.
Right on. First, Jess, if you can get a little closer, and I should let the audience know this, journalistically, I have to be forward with these things. I'm a huge fan of Jess. We worked together before. She helped train me over at Stoiber, so I'm very happy to see her and very happy to have her here. I'm not going to have any hardball questions for her. So I apologize to the audience. Yes, yeah. And she knows me. She knows all the, like, where the bodies are buried and stuff. I can't like, turn on her. I appreciate you guys being here. So the audience knows, we had to pull an audible today. Our sheriff's department had some previous things going on. Sheriff Becker already had plans. He set up, because he's such a good guy, he set up guests for us. They had something come up. The day job comes first with this. And while it's a little bit of a crazy scenario for all four of us included, none of us planned on this, you know, I think that it's actually perfect. Because it's something that Sean and I have talked about quite a bit, about trying to create more empathy, trying to get communities to understand what it's like to be in their positions, in the position that you're in, Sarah, and that many people are in. I also think that there's another side of this, of the families of officers and of people that are at home with these things. And these are a lot of subjects I think we can talk about today that we don't get a chance to talk about nearly enough, let alone at all. I don't know the last time that Sean and I got together or anybody came in and we got to really dive into this topic. So I do want to get into that with you guys a little bit later. But first, Sarah, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, I mean me asking you the first question.
That's fine.
Can you explain your position to us?
Sure. Currently, I'm just starting my 27th year with the Sheriff's Department. So
Wow, that's impressive, Sarah. I'm sorry to stop you, but that's impressive.
Yeah, I've the only job I actually haven't done is Sean's job. And Kelly and Jess's job, for the most part. Other than that, I started in corrections. I went to the patrol division, so I was a road cop. I was in investigations, so I did crimes against kids for about 8.5 years. And now I work for the courthouse security. So once you enter the courthouse building, right at the front door, me and three other officers are actually there, and we do all the screening. So we prevent any type of weapon coming in. It includes pocket knives, guns, pepper spray. We direct people to where they need to go. We've had a couple of issues at the courthouse that we've had to step in and arrest people. So we're just trying to keep the peace for the people that work there and also the people that are coming in for services for us.
When we first got the detector in there, the metal detector put in and everything, I remember expecting doing this show and having Sean coming in that week and everything, expecting to get some feedback from the community that, you know, some like it, some don't. I mean, nowadays, you can get 50% of the vote on air. You know, half the people don't like air, half the people like air nowadays and that kind of
thing. That's exactly the way we are, too. When we first started in October of 2019, we had a lot of people that were upset that they were asking to give up their stuff for screening. And what do you mean I can't keep my pocket knife? Pocket knives are a problem. I mean,
you just got kind of told on yourself with that too. These people that did that, yes.
Right, right. Now it, because we've been doing it almost, in October it'll be our fourth year. So we've been doing this for so long. Now it's almost natural for people just to do it. We're very good at our jobs. We're very quick at getting people through. Maybe you have a 15-second delay.
Yeah.
And that's it. So now we have more people coming in and actually saying thank you for your service, totally understanding the need for us to protect the people that are coming in. People that are coming into the courts are not happy to do it. They're not excited to do it. And some of them feel, you know, jaded and hurt or angry.
You know, I was going to ask you this, and I appreciate you answering, because for me, as an outsider, I didn't hear any negative feedback when it got put in. Maybe there was a little, I just don't remember, but I certainly remember mostly people being supportive of it. I wouldn't say that they were looking forward to it, but supportive of it. To the people that are against it or have an issue with it, how many courthouse problems have we had since then, since this has happened?
Quite a few, okay. In all reality. We don't just protect the courtrooms. I myself have had a couple of incidents where I've had to go hands-on with people because they wanted to fight with me. That's what we prepare for in law enforcement. We do training every year to do that. It's part of the job. I don't have ill will against those people. In fact, they come in later and I ask them how it's going. We're going to have a good day. And so but we've had problems. We've denied 10 guns over the course of the 3.5 years that we've been doing this.
I cannot understand the rationality of bringing a gun into a courthouse. I cannot wrap my mind around that.
A lot of them are the carrying concealed type of people. They are legal to carry those weapons. However, state statutes prevents them from carrying in a courthouse. And I don't think that they read the rules well enough.
Yeah.
And it was a mistake on their part. And we addressed the issue. And other than that, sometimes they argue, well, I'm carrying concealed. That doesn't allow you to carry everywhere.
No.
As law enforcement, I can't even carry everywhere. But so a lot of them are very good about it. Some of them not so much.
I'm Egyptian descent. I have a Middle Eastern last name. I have never flown and not gotten pulled out of line. And I have never complained about it. I will never complain about it. How many plane attacks have we had? How many? I mean, it's working, you know?
Yes.
Is it annoying? Does it take us longer to get into our flight? Absolutely. Do I like taking my shoes off? No. I immediately have my mom in the back of my head, oh, God, do I have good socks on? Check that? But I'll do it. I'll do it every single time. Like, the inconvenience for safety has never been an inconvenience to me. And it kind of brings me to the new jail being built and how long it took us to get to this point and everything, especially when we see other communities that are trying to get a new jail, and they're not getting that. They're not being supportive of that or anything. We as a society, we as a community, the first and foremost thing that should be on our minds is safety. Safety for our people,
yes.
Safety for our officers, all of these things. I understand that we're not all living in the lap of luxury, that money is tight and all these things. Why do we have money if not to spend it on safety, if not to make sure our community is safer, if not to make sure that the people that are making us safe are safe as they can be? This seems pretty logical. I don't think that this should be controversial. I don't think that there's anything that should be debatable, but not necessarily something that should have kept this jail from being built as long as it has.
Well, I don't think that a lot of the people out in society that is not law enforcement related like we are and see the internal workings of the jail. I don't believe it's a lot of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a jail. Why do we need a new one? Because jails get older. There's better safety measures. This jail will make it 100% more safe for the officers that work within the jail and the people that are housed in the jail. It's not just for us. It's the people that unfortunately have to be there for a sentence or whatever reason they're in jail for. It offsets their safety too. That's what we're working for.
We have a system here. You commit a crime, you have to account for that. You have to have accountability. Yes. That does not mean that you lose your rights as a human being. That does not mean that you don't have a right to safety, a right to these things and stuff. Otherwise, this system doesn't make any sense. How are we to rehabilitate people if we're not making sure they're very at least safe? That's seems pretty explanatory. And it's no different than with our officers, the people watching over them. Again, safety should be right at the top of the list. And you can miss me with how much it's going to cost or any of that stuff. I don't care. Make it happen. This is what we're supposed to be about as a society. What good is that money going to do us if we've got, I'm sorry to be blunt, but dead people like that? Right. I'll take a living person over any amount of money any single day.
Yeah. And Kelly and I both came from the jail originally. She has jail history too. And for us both to come out here, we know the issues back there. We know that it's... there has to be an increased level of safety for all of us. And even if you go back, the jail that we have now, there's no room for programming. There's no room to help these people that have to be housed back there to get better in their own private life. We have the ability, maybe not when I was in the jail in 96 to 01 that we did all those programming, but now it's supportive care. Mm-hmm. There's no room for supportive care in the current facility. There's going to be huge amounts of space for supportive care. I think we'll be better equipped to deal with the issues that these inmates are having, that these people that are struggling. And they're there for a reason, yes, but can we help them get better? Absolutely. This new jail will be awesome in that part, in that aspect.
This, I always like to reach out to the people that are kind of on the fence of these things or push back on these things. And a lot of the pushback I heard about the jail before it was being built and we had shovels in the ground and everything was tax dollars. You think your taxes are going to be a little higher from this or something. How high would they be if we don't have it and we're sending inmates out of town and we're spending money on that? How much it's going to cost our city or our taxpayers if we have accidents or bad things happen inside the old jail or something like that. And then there's the part of it of the rehabilitation part. You want your taxes to be lower. You probably want more citizens. You probably want more people putting into the workforce and everything, whether it is a program where a person is able to work while in jail or something, a work release program, or it is just when they have served their time and they're back in society and everything. That's a future taxpayer. That's a taxpayer. That is a person who is adding to our economy. This is the system we have here. You take a piece out of it. It ceases to work. The only way it works is if we're all working together and if we all have these things in mind. For these, I don't want to say average criminal, but for some of these criminals, the option of throwing away the key is not an option. Like that doesn't help our society. That doesn't help anything.
No, it does not.
And we all know somebody who has been a knucklehead. Like, in this instance, it's me. But as I look around the room, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm the knucklehead in this room. But that's fair. That's fair. When it comes to that, and those are loved ones. Those are people that somebody cares about. That's somebody that somebody loves. That's a mom or dad's kid or something like that. Or they're a parent themselves. Every human being deserves an opportunity to make up for a mistake or to give back to society. And oftentimes, that is what this is about. All of these things cease to happen if we don't have safety, if we don't have some of these safety things, and we don't have good people like yourselves that are doing these jobs.
And it all goes back down to how much room we have to do what we need to do.
Sarah, what got you to want to be in this position to do this for a career, to do this for, was it a passion? Was it something that you just from a young age wanted to do? Or?
Pretty much. I always knew that I was the rule follower, the rule enforcer. Mm. It's just the way I was brought up. At one point, my mom said, if you ever get into jail, please be sure you have a quarter, because that's when you had pay phones.
yeah.
Not a thing now.
Same thing for my mom, yeah.
Yep. Make sure you have a quarter and call me if you ever get there, but I'm not coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
Well, it's either you're going to be on one side of the fence or the other.
Mm.
And I chose to be on this side. I was fortunate enough to, be in the jail. I was fortunate enough then... I actually got my position offered to me as a deputy sheriff September 7th of 2001.
Mm.
So 4 days later, the towers went down.
Yeah.
Scared my mom to bejeebies, begged me not to go, yet here I am.
Yeah.
So And people ask, I'm sure Kelly's gotten the same question, well, is it different for females in law enforcement? No, mm-hmm. it's not. Mm-hmm. We put our uniform on the same way.
Yeah.
We have families. We protect our families. We protect the citizens. I mean, it's just kind of natural to be this.
Yeah. I on a national level, it might be a little different. I just want to look local here. That's what we do. When it came to coming up in the training, to training to new jobs and all of this, do you see support from other officers, male officers? You see a support system here for female officers?
I've never felt that any of my guys, even when I started, because I was the first female hired after like 17 years of no females hired. Mm. So it was a long space. Mm-hmm. I have never been treated differently. I've been expected to basically step up and do my job. Mm-hmm. Do I do it a little bit differently than my male counterparts? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I have never felt at any point that I was not on their same level.
Yeah.
So I've always been treated the same.
I kind of felt like I knew the answer, but I had to
ask. Yeah, you have to ask that question.
I
had to ask,
but I don't want to pretend like I know Sean, but knowing Sean, like, I can't imagine. Like, it would shock me to hear an opposite answer to that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my guys have always treated me always like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I was on, you know, the SRT team for a while. I'm back on there. Always been treated with respect, courtesy, and, oh, I'll do that for you because you're female. Never once did that ever happen.
We're seeing a lot more women getting into law enforcement and getting into these positions.
Yes.
I don't know necessarily why that is. I haven't heard a whole lot of answers of why. I just think it's encouraging and very cool to see. I imagine that there's got to be a good feeling to that for people like yourself that have been doing this for a while, and now you're seeing those numbers get better and everything and seeing more representation and more women in these positions.
Yeah, I think that, and you hate to use the word equality, but I think that law enforcement is a universal, it's a unisex type of job.
Yeah.
As long as you can do the job, then you should be an officer. Male or female, it doesn't really matter to me any.
Yeah. I think that we're making up for a lot of lost time here when it comes to representation, when it comes to equality, where we're trying to even things and make things better than they were in the past. And as that happens, that's going to be, we're all guinea pigs. We're all kind of like in the middle of this as it is happening and everything. It's a cool process to see. It's encouraging to see when I think about my daughters, when I think about other, you know, them having daughters or any of these things. There's no position a woman shouldn't be able to do if she wants to do it. But I do think that the numbers getting higher is an encouraging thing, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's great that we all have different perspectives. I have one than Kelly, and we have different perspective than you. And we all work together to do the same job. It makes it so much easier because I've gone into my counterpart, my male counterpart, and say, hey, I've got this issue. What do you think? And they've done the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
So because we all have different opinions, we all make it work easier.
I'm not a believer, especially growing up in the house I did with a very, very, very strong Jewish mother. I've never believed that, well, a man can do this and a woman could do this or that kind of thing. I'm very much on the line of, I've seen my mother and father both like carry the weight and both pull and do things, both mentally and metaphorically as far as carrying stuff. But I do think that there's nothing wrong with admiring and noticing that we look at the world differently sometimes. And I don't mean that as a man or woman thing. I mean individuals. I mean people
absolutely.
In general. Everybody has their own perspective and their own angle on things. It makes sense to have more variety of that. We only help ourselves with that. Crime, you know, the laws are pretty black and white. It's you know, this is the law, don't break that law. But human beings are gray. There's so much gray area when it comes to this. Having different thought processes, having different angles on these things is not a bad thing. And we get that when we have more representation.
Yep. I think that overall, I think that we're doing really well on going down that road. I mean, I know women are going to automotive technicians, and they're working on cars, and they're welders. And we have a male administrative assistant in the courthouse. I mean, it's just... It's whatever you want to do for a job is okay.
Yeah.
And that's it makes it great.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And let's give it up to Sarah. She just carried that whole half an hour there, huh? Come on. Yeah, nice job, Sarah. Nicely done. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then Kelly and Jess have to carry the rest. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding you guys. I'm kidding. We're going to have some fun. We got more show coming up for you right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fridays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 60. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 39. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 70. Chance for scattered storms Friday. Chance for scattered showers on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are sitting back with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sarah, Kelly, and Jess here with us right now, and just had a great conversation with Sarah. Appreciate the time from you, Sarah, and we'll probably be talking again a little bit more maybe to you. We'll see. I want to go to Kelly and Jess now, and again, if you guys wouldn't mind introducing yourselves and your positions at the department. Kelly, I'll start with you.
I'm Kelly Trzynski. I am the office manager at the Sheriff's Department.
And my name is Jess Rublin, and I'm the administrative assistant.
So one of the things that I was excited about to have you two in studio today is to talk about stuff that we don't normally get to talk about. I brought up earlier what it's like for families of officers and being at home and that, and the a difficulty that I could never understand. That I don't pretend to understand. I only empathize with. I wanted to bring that up because it is the first thing I think of when I think of an officer. I think of their family first, but they're not the only ones sitting there caring and worrying and concerned. People like yourselves in the building are also there. These are your coworkers. These are people you see all the time. I imagine that there's hearts involved. You got a job to do, but you also care about these people. The concern there is noteworthy, I would think. So I don't have a question for that. I just wanted to bring attention to it. I think that it's something we in our society don't pay attention to nearly enough. We're getting better about like looking at soldiers and their families, but I still think we need we have a couple steps to go here when it comes to an officer and his family or her family or something like that. So just touching on it, I thought it was a good opportunity. I saw a window here to be able to bring that up, and I took it. If you have anything to add to that, please do. Otherwise, we can keep moving.
They are my family. From the moment I step in the building to the moment I lay my head on my pillow, they are my family. They're my brothers, my sisters. Some of them are younger than my own children, mm-hmm. So they are like my children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love each and every one of them. So, I mean, I don't want to see anything happen to either any of them. Like Sarah said, I used to work in the jail. So, I mean, I know what it's like. And to be back in the jail, working as an officer, back in the jail or a corrections officer. So, I mean, yeah, we're one big family. And you don't want anything to happen to any of them. And, I mean, every time the tones go off or, you know, the squad car goes, you know, by the house, it's like my heart just, you know, does a little flitter and you just say a little prayer and hope everything's going to be good. And
mm-hmm. appreciate what you guys do. Appreciate all of those things deeply. And again, on a level that I don't pretend I can relate to. I just empathize with and certainly appreciate. When it comes to your jobs, let's talk about that a little bit, what you do. And Kelly, again, I'll start with you. What does your job entail? What are some of the things that you do for your job?
So as the office manager, I'm responsible for paying the bills. We type all the reports for all the officers. We take care of all the citations for court. Moral support for my girls. So I've got Jess and Jenna that work for me. Oh boy, let's see.
They make us look good.
Yeah.
That's my Pam.
Us look great.
Yeah. So anytime I look good, it's all Pam. It's all Pam.
What else do we do? I got all my monthly duties that we have to do. Can't forget Donut Friday, so I bring donuts. Yes. Mm-hmm. Cops do like donuts, people.
And that's not true.
And I do bring them healthy snacks.
That good on them.
Yeah. What else do we do? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we do.
As a just to pause for a second, isn't it the most interesting thing when you've been doing, like, I've been in radio for 20 years, and I'll have students ask me all the time, like, oh, what is your job? What is it? I don't know what you do and everything. And I sit there, I'm like, what do I do? My yeah. God, there's a billion things I do. Like, I don't even know where to begin with that stuff when somebody presents that question to you. It's interesting.
Like, there's so many things on a daily level that I do, and it's just like you kind of just forget. But, yeah, there's, like, so many things I do. I mean, I work hand-in-hand with the jail every day doing, you know, jail stuff still. I mean, I take care of all of their, like, accounting work and... I take care of, you know, stuff on the state level for, you know, taxes, tax intercept programs for the inmates and, you know, taking money from inmates and stuff like that, you know, from their tax intercepts. And I mean, you name it, we do it.
It's an integral part of this process of the judicial system.
Yep.
It's one of the things we don't look at very often, especially there's not a Law and Order, you know, a special show for that everything.
No.
You know, there's it's one of those kind of things that I don't say that we take it lightly or we don't appreciate it. I think that people just don't know, just don't understand. Unless you have been in the court, you've been in the situation, you probably don't know a lot of these things. What's one of the more, I don't know if it's interesting is the right word, but what is one of the more things that you think people would be surprised by that your job involves? Or is there anything? Maybe there isn't anything like that.
Oh, boy.
I would say that you mentioned a couple of things there that I didn't quite understand. I didn't quite know as far as, like, taking care of the bills. Like,
okay.
I never even thought about that. Like, wait a minute, who's taking care of the bills here? Like, stuff. It was a mind blow right there.
So I do pay the bills. So between me and Chief Deputy Ellis, we pay the bills. So he reviews all the bills, and then every week I go through and actually put the bills in the system and we pay the bills. So that is probably one of the other interesting. A lot of people probably don't know that we do actually intercept our inmates' taxes. So if they don't pay their bills, we actually do go and take their taxes from them and actually get our money back from them. So a lot of people do think that, you know, inmates ride for free. Well, they don't ride for free because we actually do take their tax intercepts from them, and sometimes we get quite a bit from them. So I mean, in a good year, we could, you know, make quite a bit of money back. Yeah, so they don't actually come to jail for free. We actually do charge them to come to jail. We do charge them fees for everything that they do, and we do sometimes get some of their money back from them.
Another thing I'll never be able to wrap my mind around, the idea that you can outrun the government.
Right.
Like, where are you running? Where are you going that you think you can't be? You're just prolonging the inevitable when it comes to that stuff.
Yep.
And a lot of this stuff, too, is key for, I think, us. Again, one of the biggest things we try to do with this hour is create empathy, more and more empathy in our community for this, and build that bridge between our community and our law enforcement. And right away, one of the things that occurs to me is, well, you're doing those things so they can be doing what they're doing out in the field. But how much it's got to be, it's such a team partnership thing. These things got to get done, regardless of what I'm specifically talking about. All of this has to get done. But to ask Sarah to be, you know, doing these things that you are doing, Kelly, while she's also got a lot on her plate, or vice versa, wouldn't make a lot of sense. But it's something that's kind of lost on us a bit in society here, that, hey, wait a minute, who's you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's here and stuff. It's an integral part of the system.
Yep.
As Sean Becker always says, that we are a team, and it is true. I'm fairly new to the Sheriff's Department, and from day one, I've felt a part of the team.
That's so cool. And I imagine, because there are jobs that we do to make a paycheck. There are jobs that we do to get by and all that. And then there are jobs that we do often, sometimes maybe because we love what we do, or we want to try this or something like that. But then there are jobs that call us, that pull us in, that we don't necessarily have a choice. It's something that's in our heart. It's something that pulls us in. I talk about this with acting and entertaining. I didn't choose this life. I would gladly have be a much steadier job that I get a good paycheck for. I have a 401k, all those things. It sounds so nice. It sounds like it's great to be a regular person. I really love the idea of that. I didn't choose this, but this is who I am. This is what I was... I think one of the things that occurs to you the older you get is we all have dreams of what we want to be when we're young. There's a certain point in life where you realize it's not about who you dreamed you were going to be, it's who you were meant to be. And oftentimes in these positions, the things that you guys are doing, it's like that. It's not, well, hey, if the job's so hard, just do something else. I can't. This is what I do. This is who I am. And I imagine that you guys feel very similar to this. Sarah, especially with the story and everything you've shared with us already. Kelly, it seems a little similar.
Yep. I've been with the Sheriff's Department for 15 years now. I mean, I love my job. I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. And like I said, it's what's best for the department, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, I'll stay.
We do what is best for the community. They do what is best for us.
Yep.
Well said.
Nice job.
Thank you.
She's good. She is.
You know, like just coming in, not a law enforcement background, and then, oh, by the way, we're gonna give you these horrendous reports with all these intimate details. I don't know. I mean, I've been in for so long. I mean, like, oh yeah, okay, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But coming in from unknowns and then say, oh, and by the way, you're gonna hear the most horrendous details you've ever heard in your life.
I'm doing my best not to put Jess on the spot.
Which is done very well.
But I've got a billion questions, and I think you're doing extremely well, yes. So I do want to ask, because you come from an industry like working at Stoiber and that, and it's all about health, it's healing people, it's wanting to do that. Why go into this field? Why do this? And what have you... What have you been getting from the process? How has it been going for you?
Well, even though I am not in law enforcement, I do have a little bit of law enforcement background because I'm married to someone in law enforcement.
Yeah.
So I've always been interested in his job. When he comes home, like, I truly want to know, like, how his day was, what he did. Like, that has always been interesting to me.
Yeah.
So when I saw this come up, I'm like, oh, I think I could do that. Like, that sounds so interesting to me. Now I get to see what goes on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was an outsider, even though I was married to somebody.
And I being married to somebody in law enforcement, you have a view that not many of us have. Mm-hmm. And then having that view and still going into the fire, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that so much. I've always admired you, but I really admire that, Jess. And I have to say, you and Tina, the way you guys work that front desk, I thought it was masterful. I've worked in public service before. I've seen a lot of people work the phones. You know, I work with one of the best in the industry and Pam Hilke. But what you and Tina were able to do, and what Tina continues to do over there and everything, there's an art to that, I think. There's a real ability to it. To bring that to this field, I not only admire, I think it's fitting. It works. It makes sense. Like, when I first saw you today walk in, I'm like, oh, Jess, I knew you'd taken a new job. I didn't know where exactly it was and those kind of things. But it immediately clicked. It immediately, like, oh, I bet she's a good fit over there.
She's an awesome fit.
Thank you.
It's similar, but so different at the same time. Like, I still answer phones. I get way different questions. And I'm still on the computer typing away. Mm-hmm, But it's, at least for me, it's a great fit. I love going to work every day. Nate says that I come home happy every day.
Yeah.
That's not always going to be the case, but we will help you with that. Being a family, that's what we do.
I truly feel a part of this family. It's amazing. And not that I didn't at Stoiber, because I love my Stoiber family too.
Yeah.
But it's been great. I love it.
Sean and I have talked about this a number of times. There's a lot of people in our community who want to put into our community. That want, especially coming after the pandemic and everything, they want to give back. They want to do something with this this gift of life that we've been all given. And everything, and part of that is contributing, but not all of us can thread a needle or be a doctor or wear a badge and be in law enforcement. Being in this position, because you already came from a position where you were helping people. You may have not had been a doctor, but you were just as integral a part of that process as the doctors were. Mm-hmm. You're, again, in a field where you're giving back to your community. You are adding your community. That seems like an important thing to you. Was that intentional, or is that something that has happened organically?
I guess it just happened.
There's your tough question. There's a tough one. I didn't mean to do that to you. I didn't mean to. But it seems like it's something that definitely, again, the calling, to give back to your community, to be a part of these things.
And like I said, I've always been interested in his job, and so now I kind of feel like I'm a part of it.
Right on. Yeah. None of this works without all of these pieces. It is no different than an automobile. You take out one spark plug and that thing ain't going. All of this, we need all of these pieces to make this work. We just don't always get a chance to talk to those pieces and to really hear from them. I really do appreciate you guys being in here today. I think, you know, as much as I love talking to the guys and everything, I think this really worked out in some ways, because we just don't get these opportunities nearly enough to speak with you guys. Thank you so much for this time. We are going to take another quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll have some fun. We got some more questions for you and everything. None of them for Jess, though. None of that.
Right, you're done.
We'll come back and have some more fun here on Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fridays with WFHR.halfdeals.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with this week's deal from La Taqueria. Get a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. That's right, a $50 gift card bundle for just $25. La Taqueria, where passion meets flavor, service, and tradition.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeals.com.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it.
I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 60. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 39. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high of 70. Chance for scattered storms Friday. Chance for scattered showers on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host James behind the mic, and I am joined by our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sarah, Kelly, and Jess here, having some fun during the break there, talking a little bit. Sarah, what you just said, I don't know why, but from you, it's a little more mischievous, like a little, it has a little more tone to it, what you said there. So that was funny. Don't worry, the mics weren't on. It's fine. I appreciate you guys being in this studio. Appreciate the time from you and everything. I had a question actually for Sean and the gang that I wanted to ask that Sarah doesn't mind me bringing up with her. I was watching an old Law and Order episode, and it was like from the early 80s or something like that, because I'm weird and old. And I was watching how they were talking to dispatch, and it was this old rickety kind of radio thing that they were using in the squad car. And I was like, well, that has to have grown. That has to have evolved by now and stuff. And I don't remember the last time I saw, like, inside a police car. But, I mean, I was talking about it in the TV show and stuff. Thankfully, knock on wood, in real life as well. How has that changed, communication between officer, dispatch, even officer and the people working in the building and stuff? Communication is clearly got to be a key part of the job. So I imagine it's evolved a bit over the years.
Communication for us is everything.
Yeah.
For me to call out, say a call out at a traffic stop, where I'm saying my location and who I'm out with, other officers are listening to me. And they're listening to who the person come back as. If they know the person that they're communicating with me, maybe it's somebody that I need to know about. Mm-hmm. There's an issue, you know, like law enforcement or whatever have you. For me to talk to dispatch then, to get additional communication, if something happens to me and they don't know where I am, or if I can't communicate that there is something happening to me, they should be able to pick up on the cues that I'm sending out. Mm-hmm. Luckily, nowadays, with the enhanced 911s and the computers in our cars, we have a big portion that is now gotten way easier. We can communicate with dispatch via the computers. We can call on the radios. Our radios are now equipped with emergency buttons, so if we press that and they call us and we don't respond, everybody's coming to my rescue. And you'll have to talk to dispatch about that.
Yeah.
But they have now the E911s where everything is advanced and, you know, your geolocation comes up for GPS. The computers in our car are also GPS, so if they don't know where I am and I hit the button, they can see, well, that's where your computer is. There's just, the radios are still radios.
Yeah.
But now they've gotten stronger. They're better. When I started,
we don't have to get details about that.
When I got out of my car, I had to hit this button for the repeater, and then had a system in my car, so my radio that I wear on my hip, that I talk to on my shoulder, would then be boosted to have a signal to get to dispatch.
Wow. Okay.
And so that was always interesting, but then if two of you came on the scene at the same time, only if one of you could do the repeater, and then you'd have to tell them. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit more kind of wonky, but nowadays we can just turn on our radios and we can talk to them. We have multiple channels that we can do that on. We got multiple channels that are now digitized, which they're harder to hear for outside of the the area. And dispatch used to be where they write down everything on a card, and they literally was a card file.
Wow.
Now you go in there, and they've got six screens, and it's all in, like, you know, it used to be, it's almost sci-fi the what they have now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And all the, everything is what, it's just like your computer here. Mm-hmm. You touch a button on the screen, and you can talk to everybody. You're talking to the state people. You're talking to, dispatch has evolved into a whole different world than what it used to be. They're amazing people, how they keep everything, you know, the county's doing this, but the fire department is doing this, and Rapids Police Department's doing this, and Marshfield's doing this, and with 19 fire departments and all the law enforcement we have, they manage to keep us all straight, all going in the right direction, not to mention they're answering calls, they're fielding questions for us that really are not law enforcement related, they're just amazing people. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, just like our front office staff. I mean, we're just one leg of law enforcement. There's so many different pegs to this. But yeah, I mean, the technology that we have now is so much more advanced than when I started.
Thank you for that, the breakdown there, Sarah. I appreciate you doing that. It's so interesting to me, some of the things that you said there, because I'm thinking about the communication aspect of this and the sharing of information, all of that. You right away hit on something that I am ashamed to admit that I did not think of right away, the safety aspect of this for you guys, for you out there, the GPS, all of these things. It makes perfect sense as soon as you're saying it, but again, trying to create that empathy in our communities and that kind of thing. And I'm a person that knows on this stuff. I do my homework. I don't just have Sean come in, because Sean comes in and he's got all of his papers out. He can do, all I got to do is turn his mic on. He don't need me for this. But I like having questions. I like being interactive with him. And I think that the empathy from our society is important. Personally, for me, my family, we were knuckleheads. We owe it to society to start acting right and to learn these things and stuff. That's my personal opinion. I'm not putting that on anybody else. That's just how I feel and how my father feels and that. So when it comes to that part of these things, I know my stuff. I know what's going on. I know quite a bit. I don't pretend to know everything, but I feel like I got a good handle on this stuff. And that just right away, didn't even think about it. I just owning this, to be honest about it. I think that stuff's so important right now. These conversations we're having are so important. It may not seem like it, but there's somebody out there listening. I'm not the only one. There's somebody out there listening like, I didn't think of that. Oh my God. Like, that's so important. Of course our officers should be safer. Of course we should have GPS on these things. We got GPS everywhere. Our phones track us everywhere. Why shouldn't we be doing that with it? Just we don't always put these pieces together, you know? I appreciate you bringing that down for us.
And dispatch, they really watch us too. It's harder on dispatch because for us in law enforcement, we go out there and we're doing it. We're hands-on, you know, we're doing the CPR, we're doing, you know, pulling people out of car crashes, we're doing the reports. You know, we're helping your grandma get up because she fell down. You know, we're doing everything. And, you know, like Kelly and Jess and Jenna, they do all the after-west for us. So they're the supportive care when we're having a bad call. We know that we can come to them and they'll listen to us. Dispatch is the ones you call first. So their level of anxiety is higher because they're actually sending us into the fire, so to speak. And so they have, as much as these guys are in family in our front office, they are too, because they, all those emotions, like they're listening to us on the radio, they're hearing, they're trying to do CPR over the phone with somebody who doesn't know how to do CPR. I mean, their jobs are crazy insane. Yeah. I thought mine was bad. At least I get to be there and doing it. They're doing it before I even get there. I give them a whole bunch of credit.
You touched on, Sarah, the support and how far that goes for you and your fellow officers and everything. I'm not speaking for anybody here. I imagine Kelly, Jess, those dispatchers, they feel the same way about what you were just saying about them and how much you appreciate them and everything. And I think you felt that theme in this conversation, previous conversations with our Fire Department. You're sensing a theme. Community, family and looking out for each other, support and encouragement. It's a phrase that I like to use all the time. Encouragement, support, cost nothing, can mean everything. I don't think I've ever said it on this level before, where it has this kind of like stakes in it, involved in it. And again, this is another one of those things that I don't think we think about very often in our own day-to-day lives, in our own day-to-day jobs. Everybody in this building is my family. Like, I don't care if there's blood involved or not. These are my family. I'd do anything for every single person in this building. We get that in the most of our jobs day-to-day. Why it is that we look at law enforcement so differently? This is a rhetorical question. I'm not putting Jess on the spot. Jess, answer the question, Jess. Why do we? No.
Go ahead, Jess. I'll be here.
Yeah. I don't know why we necessarily do this with such a integral part of our society that we all understand is, look, I love Westerns, but I don't want to live in one. We need law enforcement. We need, you know, these things and stuff. And I think we all kind of get that. But we don't have that next step of empathy very often, of, hey, this is difficult on the person I'm seeing, but what about the people behind the scenes? What about the people or that next step of that? We've had dispatchers on a little bit. I don't think we could have them on enough. I don't think we could spend enough time talking to any dispatcher, let alone all of them, and getting the different takes, the different angles on the job, the stress of the job, the way the job has grown over the years. There's so many things that I'd love to ask and get more and more of that in. I appreciate a window into that.
Yeah, it's the same thing as our correction staff. I mean, they're insanely busy too. The thing is they're a community within a community.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody sees outside of those walls, but it's hectic in there. They're running. We may have a lower population than some of the jails out there, and our population will get bigger once we get the new facility. But they're. And like these guys are kind of in the wind, kind of in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the other side of the moon.
Yeah.
Because of the way people don't even think that they even have the time, they don't even know that they exist.
Yeah.
Right.
They're a huge, huge portion of law enforcement because nobody talks about them and what they're doing. So, as much as I like to shout out for administrative assistants mm-hmm. and dispatch, and corrections need a kudos big time.
Yeah.
I mean, I only have to spend maybe an hour with a person and then take them to jail.
Mm-hmm.
They may be spending years with these people.
It's an incredible point. Incredible point.
Yeah, so it's different.
And it also, again, Sarah, you're amazing. Nicely done, and thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that up. Another part of this that we don't get a chance to talk about much, but it also brings up the question, or the thought of, man, I mean, how many other positions are there that we don't think about? How many other positions are there in the judicial system that makes it so integral for all of this to take place, for all of this to happen? I wonder, just sitting back, like how many different jobs we'd be surprised by, of like, hey, did you know this is a position, or did you know that we do this at the? Because and again, a conversation that Sheriff Becker and I have had quite a bit. Even our police department here and former Sheriff Melvin and stuff have talked about the amount of things that we continue to put on our officers' shoulders and the amount of things that you signed up for when you first started this years ago. But how much that has grown over the years and stuff. And we continue to do this, yet where is, okay, that's one thing, but where's the support? Where's the training? Where is the added officers? Where is the added support to that? Where is the community support to those things? We can't just keep on asking and asking and asking and expect that as good as our officers are and as amazing as they are human beings. You wouldn't do that to anybody in any position, let alone one of the most key positions in our society. Balancing that, hey, cannot be easy. And I imagine, especially Midwesterners, we don't complain. We just keep moving.
We just keep moving forward.
Walk it off. You got a broken leg. I'll walk it off. It ain't nothing. Like, so it's even more so to the point in areas like ours, I think, where it's important for us as a society to understand these things, for to understand the weight that is on all of your shoulders, the things that you are carrying with you day in, day out, hour after hour, minute after minute, not only for the empathy factor, but I would hope for people's own well-being. You know, I know that for me, I'm fortunate. I'm spoiled in this job. I talk to so many cool people, and I get to see inside and how the sausage is made and a lot of these things. And I feel safer in this community and my knowing my children are in the communities like this and stuff because of it. I would imagine that most people do out there. And we bring more of that when we're able to talk to people like yourselves and bring these stories to the forefront and share this information with people.
Oh, absolutely. I think that... The more we talk to people in general, we take that stigma of you can't talk to cops, you know, you can't talk to them because, you know, they're just going to turn your words and it's going to be this. Nope, I just want to do my job and make sure everybody's safe. Yeah, come down and talk to me at the courthouse. I'll talk to you and I'll show you around and, you know, your kids get stickers from us and I... We're not what we used to be. Mm-hmm. We're a whole new generation.
Yes.
That's and scary. We keep, but we still have those, you know, people that say, I don't like so-and-so. I've never met you. How do you know you don't like me?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm a fun person. I laugh and joke and get along. And
I looked this up for the interview and everything. I have a stat for everyone. Every officer is a human being. Just like you. I looked that up. I know. I thought it was wild. I thought it was really cool. I just wanted to ask, Jess, I was talking about positions and everything. If you could do me a favor and explain in detail every single position in the build. I'm joking. We're done with the show, Jess.